Good morning, Church. Today's reading comes from you from the Glasgow Royal Infirmary. The reading for today is Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen. And may God bless his word.
Hi again. Do you know, it's the job of a script supervisor to oversee the continuity in a film. That the script flows, the props, everything's part of a seamless whole. So you don't have somebody, excuse me, wearing a watch on their left arm in one scene and a right arm in another scene. I think I might need one. For the more astute of you, you'll realise that there's quite a few changes, actually, since I did the video that you've just watched before now. I've shifted position in the room. I've changed clothes. I've actually had a haircut as well, and may take the sharper eye, the younger eyes maybe to notice, but I've actually had a crown fitted as well since I spoke earlier. So, I think I need somebody to keep an eye on me for continuity issues. But it's me, I'm back again, and I'm now ready and excited to speak about Psalm 121 and to speak about this God who looks out for us that we see there. Next to Psalm 23, this is probably one of the most comforting and well-known psalms available to us. We are still in the Psalm of Ascents. Those songs sung by Israel as they made their long, slow trip up towards Mount Zion and the temple. We have different tribes, remember, different groups mingling together on the dusty, rocky track. And they're all under the Middle Eastern sun, getting covered in dust and quite hot. And this psalm was one of those that they sang, which will have comforted and reassured them, encouraged them on their journey. Now, before I even get into the psalm, I'd like us to think about that path. The temple is the big draw. That's where the crowds really gathered. That was what they would have said the worship really counted. You had your priest, you had animals to sacrifice, and actually being in the temple was what mattered to the people. That was what they were chasing. But actually, when you read these psalms, each one of the psalms of ascent, each one is a declaration of who God is and of Israel's love for him, and they're pouring out their heart to him, good stuff and bad. This is worship. Now, Jesus may have said, where two or three are gathered, there I am with you. But he didn't say where 80 or to 100 are gathered. Or even better, if there's 3,000 of you in a huge marquee, that's, I'm even more there. No, just two or three are necessary. And our worship too, for us, it happens in the smallest of groups. It happens alone because it depends entirely on the posture of our hearts. If you're intending to praise God and to worship him, then that is what you're doing. And that's what Israel is doing as they make their way to Mount Zion. That is worship. Psalm 121 and all the Psalms of Ascent remind us that the walking along the path itself is a form of worship. It might not have been what Israel thought counted, but it did. And that translates very nicely to our current situation. I know it's incredibly hard not to be able to meet. I know how much I yearn to deliver a sermon to something other than a bookcase at my mobile phone. I can only guess how much our worship leaders yearn to be back together again as bands leading us all in worship, because I know how much I yearn to hear that. And Ian has shown remarkable resilience and tenacity in singing to a computer. None of us relishes the way things are just now. I know every person watching this finds our separation hard. But I just want to encourage you this morning. I just want you to check in with yourself. Is there somewhere in your life that you're able to take time to worship God? Because if it's not here engaging on a Sunday morning, if you find it hard to engage with this format, I don't want you to feel guilty or ashamed. Hey, I can be in there too. But do find somewhere else in the week where it happens. That you pray, that you sing, that you, regardless of your voice, you sing praises out loud to God. Maybe as you wash dishes, as you walk, as you garden. I recall many, many years ago now having a tough time at church. I still went to church, but I'll be honest with you, it was a trial. I recall walking the 5-minute walk one Sunday morning and muttering as I went, "Lord, you're going to have to accept my walk to church as my worship this week, because there isn't going to be anything happening from me once I'm inside." And God, in his graciousness, took my meagre offering, and that continued for months. But I persevered, and eventually there was a shift and the situation improved. And if I think back on it, my willingness to persist there was blessed by God. If you're missing being with family, church family, on a Sunday morning, then think about how you might merge with others on the path on the way to the temple. If you're bubbling with another church member, get them round to you for breakfast or for lunch and enjoy the service together. Maybe you're in touch with someone who doesn't have any access to devices or doesn't know how to get online. Maybe you could actually just take your device, take your mobile phone, go to their house, show them, sit with them and watch the service with them. Or there's no reason now why you can't get together with friends to watch the service together, as long as current regulations regarding numbers are adhered to. The truth is that any official church gathering requires risk assessments. And just the same way as any business opening needs to carry out really thorough risk assessments, and quite rightly so. But church family choosing to meet with other church family in accordance with the guidelines just isn't an issue. And so I would encourage you to do that. And I recognise it's not ideal, but it's maybe the best that we have at present. Actually, what I've suggested maybe isn't hugely imaginative. Maybe some of you guys are doing much more imaginative and innovative stuff. And if that's the case, let me know so that we can share things. The Psalms of Ascent remind us all that our worship is as much about how we are outside the temple. It's as much about our posture day in, day out, and the normal living, breathing, working things that we do. I run back just through some of the services that we've had from the Psalms of Ascent. We had Psalm 122 and the importance of travelling together in this season. And Lal spoke to us from Psalm 124 about the importance of remembering those stories of what God has done in the past and encouraging each other. God was with us then, he is with us now. Let's seek him for what he has for us now. Psalm 131, the need to go forward in all humility. And Psalm 133, Andy, last week, speaking about the importance of unity, both with God and with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, putting all those themes together, I want to land that somewhere really quite practical. I've always loved that White Inch is a place where everyone serves in whatever way they can. The truth is, though, that actually many of those roles of serving no longer apply. We don't need to put out chairs every morning. We don't need to tidy them away afterwards. There's no rota for the laptop or the sound desk. There's no welcoming duties to be done. All of those things have fallen away in this season, the children's work as well. But there are other positions. There are other things people can do now. There was Heather's letter writing at the beginning of lockdown, and that's just an example. But also maybe some of you could take on the job of staying in contact with those people who really don't have much way of getting in touch with the church. And there's also the technology role. That's a role that Ian took on as part of his leading, and it was important that we saw him up front. But that does mean that there's a lot of pressure to continue that tech stuff up front. But first of all, I want to say to him and to everybody else who's been involved in the technology, in the leading, whether it's worship, whether it's preaching, reading every on a Sunday or doing a prayer, thank you so much for your service. It has been vital. We couldn't have done this without you. And I just so value seeing different people stepping up to help. But we still do. We could do with more help with the technology. And if you think there's any way you might be able to help after being taught what needs to be done, then I would encourage you, please, to step up, to volunteer, speak to Ian or to Shona or to myself. Maybe we haven't seen you on the screen yet on a Sunday morning, or your children. You'd be happy to read or maybe pray. Or how about this? Would maybe some of you be willing to record a message to the rest of the church that could be shown one Sunday morning? Whatever your idea is there, or if you'd be willing just to take part in a service, just a small part, and you own a phone or a camera that we can record you on, then again, please, please let me know. I'm going to move on now to the psalm itself. So we have summarised the others, but today in Psalm 121, we have the reassuring promise that all the while, all the time, our guardian God guides us. I wonder why the psalmist draws attention to the mountains while asking where his help comes from. And I guess, like me, you probably associate mountains with a majestic view, an amazing walk, a day out, a sense maybe of being in God's creation, but maybe that wasn't necessarily the case when the psalm was written. Pilgrims walking between cities were targets for robbers who hid in the hills. So there might have been a background of fear, of tension, with the threat of violence as the pilgrims walked. And I think the other things about mountaintops that are worth remembering is that they were associated with pagan worship. If you have the time, go and read 1 Kings 18 and the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Should we be looking to the mountaintops, to pagan gods for help? Or should we be turning our worship towards the glorious scenes of the majestic nature all around us? I can't help but talk like that, and my mind immediately goes to Lord of the Rings and the Battle of Helm's Deep. And Gandalf saying, "Look to my coming on the first light on the fifth day. At dawn, look to the east." Where does my help come from? Says the psalmist. And he goes on to firmly shut down all other options. My help comes from the Lord, no other. Psalm 121 most firmly rejects any worship of nature, any gazing at the stars for answers, and instead it says, look to the Lord who made the heaven and earth. Worship the Creator, not the created. Our help comes from the Creator, not the created. And the psalmist goes on to tell us why. Our Creator God, he does not sleep, he does not rest. We might be truly fed up with an enforced stay in our homes. We might yearn for a few days away, even if it is just around the UK. But God does not go on holidays. He is not a clockmaker who winds up the clock and then walks away and forgets about it. No, the guardian God is the God that's referred to in the message. Our guardian God constantly watches over us, constantly listens to our prayers, constantly knows what's going on in our lives and why. He, our guardian God, is with us as we start out this journey, and he accompanies us on our way, and he will be there to greet us at the end. Are we supposed to read this psalm and think a Christian should never slip or twist an ankle? That I, with my very fair skin, should never need bother with sunscreen again? That I'll never come to harm? Is that the message of this psalm? No. The promise of this psalm for you and for me, and both the Hebrews and Christians have read it this way throughout the years, is not that we should never go over on our ankle, but no injury, no illness, no accident, no coronavirus, no distress will ever have evil power over us. That is, such events will never be able to separate us from God's purposes in us. Regardless of the swirling mayhem around us, if we are in Christ Jesus, our final destination is secure. And there is our launching pad for worship. Jesus will bring his people home to him, and nothing on earth can stop that. We may not be in the temple as much as we would like, but our guardian God watches over us wherever we are. May that bring peace to each of us today. Amen.